This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Seth, this was brought to my attention by friends of mine on a bit of a Texans Mafia-type group text here. That 2 years ago today, Jack Easterby tweeted, "My family and I are thankful for our time in Houston. We appreciate the opportunities that McNair family provided us and wish the organization well moving forward." It was 2 years ago today that Jack Easterby was future endeavored by the Houston Texans.
My favorite Jack Easterby story that I heard through the grapevine through the years was Jack Easterby showing up at a league event that the Texans had not planned on him being at when he was an employee of the Texans. Oh. Yeah, like just basically showed up uninvited. Towards the end of his towards the end of his tenure with the Texans, where things had just gotten super weird.
That's
apparently
bold.
it's one of the things that I have zero clue whether Lovie Smith's input was part of Jack Easterby getting the ouster, but I choose to think that it was.
Yeah.
And it really was. Once Lovie Smith was hired, there was a very noticeable stepping back of Jack Easterby and him just not being present everywhere all the time. And then within a few months, he was fired. So I think that people will try to credit Lovie Smith for delivering CJ Stroud to the Texans or what have you. There's so many twists of fate and everything that I never buy into any of that. But if he had anything to do with them getting rid of Jack Easterby, God bless him, and then he deserves a statue for that. Because there's some truth that needed to be told finally and heard. I think the truth was told about Jack Easterby plenty of times, but it just wasn't being heard until enough key people realized what Jack Easterby was all about.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the upturn for the Texans, once they realized, oh, okay, this Jack Easterby is not the best thing for this organization.
It was during the bye week that season. I'm looking at the schedule. The first game out of the bye week was a game in Las Vegas against the Raiders, a game that the Texans lost 38-20. So that's neither here nor there. The Texans were a bad team back in 2022. I'm looking at the lineup they trotted out there. And that this is why, the purpose of me bringing up this anniversary is not to pick on Jack Easterby. It's to illustrate just how ridiculously fast they've turned this thing around. We're talking two calendar years. And what's amazing to me, Seth, is that a lot of the guys on offense starting that game, the first game post Easterby, are a lot of the same guys that are on this team right now.
Yeah.
With one key distinction at quarterback, it was Davis Mills in that game and not CJ Stroud, but Damian Pierce started at running back. Nico Collins started at wide receiver. Brandon Cook started at wide receiver as well and then withheld his services as a protest about Jack Easterby, presumably.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He was stripped of his captaincy.
3/5 of the starting offensive line are 3/5 of this starting offensive line. Both the tackles and Kenyon Green started that day. So you're talking like over half the offense is the same guys, you know? The defense has been almost entirely turned over.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, this was the only two starters on defense that day that are still here are Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley Jr., both rookies that year. Malik Collins, Rasheem Green, I guess Jerry Hughes is still here, but he's been on and off the team, and he's on IR now. Roy Lopez started that day. How about this?
Oh, yeah.
How about this for linebackers? Garrett Wallow, Christian Kirksey, and Kamu Grugier-Hill were your linebackers day.
Wow.
Jonathan
Kamu Grugier-Hill showed up the other day versus the Texans.
He did for the Vikings, yeah. So they've turned over almost the entire defense. They've turned over. Look, they've turned over a majority of the roster, which is what you do when you're, what, 3-13-1 is what they were that year. So yeah, man. So it's they've turned this thing quick. I have great appreciation for it.
There's a little bit of luck involved, obviously, in getting C.J. Stroud. That was the biggest thing. I wonder where we'd be right now. What if they had, if they hadn't drafted? Let's say they were. What would have been the most likely scenario if the Texans were drafting third last year?
That they would have drafted Will Anderson, because I'm guessing Stroud would have gone second to whoever.
Yeah.
It would have still been Bryce and CJ. They would have drafted Will Anderson and signed Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, you think so?
How's that for? I don't know. It's as good as any hypothesis, right?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been Davis Mills as the quarterback, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they would have given him a role with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Now, I guess the big question would be, would they have drafted Anthony Richardson?
Right.
With the
or
third
Will Levis.
Over Levis.
The pre-draft hype about Levis. You remember last year, I went, because I was watching Levis, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. So I went out and sought out expert opinions on Will Levis, and I couldn't find a single damn person who knew what he was talking about who was actually high on Will Levis.
Yep.
I think that was all pre-draft hype for whatever reason.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't think they would have drafted Will Levis.
No.
Maybe Anthony, yeah, would they have taken a chance on Anthony Richardson?
How would we feel if Anthony Richardson were the quarterback of the Houston Texans right now?
He'd have gotten injured a bunch of times.
He would have been.
All right. I mean, he gets injured. I think we'd be pretty frustrated right now.
There would have been
division in the fan base too about people that were for and against Anthony Richardson. If you were playing the way he's been playing and getting injured as much as he's gotten injured. Yeah, there would be some Anthony Richardson truthers, and then there would be some fire Nick Caserios.
There would. Yeah.
Yeah.
There would be. CJ has been he's been the biggest catalyst for he and D'Amico for where they are right now. No question on the field for sure. my people are texting in their favorite Easterby stories now. My favorite Easterby story is the one where he got fired by the Texans. LOL. someone asked, what is Jack doing now? He popped up on the bench with the A&M basketball team during the tournament last year. I think that was more like his friendship with Buzz Williams, their head coach. I don't think he's working for A&M. I know he's been poking around the NFL trying to get back in the NFL in some way.
I think the whole thing about Easterby is that they really loved him in his role up in New England, where he's kind of a character coach type guy. And I think he is really good at that role. It's that the Texans put him into a role that he was wholly and completely unsuited for, largely through the self-promotion of a guy who once had on his resume that he was the assistant general manager in Jacksonville, when in fact he was just an intern
it's
that
like
year.
21 years old.
Yeah, he just... That was my first. Remember, that was where I tried to raise the alarms about Jack Easterby. Nobody was listening to me, so I just said, "Go die, everybody! Yeah. I'll let you guys just take this." There was when they first announced his hire, and it said he was the assistant GM in Jacksonville. So I called up people in Jacksonville, and they were like, "Who? No,
right.
What? No,
right.
I've never heard of this guy before."
Right,
and there it was. That it was on the website for like a year and a half, 2 years before they actually fixed it.
Yep. Someone says the Texans would have taken a QB at third, too much pressure for the restart. Yeah, I think they'd have found some way. If they weren't picking first or second, I think they would have found some way to get up into the top two to take one of those guys would be my guess. I mean, they traded a bunch of stuff to get Will Anderson. You know, I'm glad we don't have to play this hypothetical. I'm glad we are where we are and we've got CJ.
What if they had drafted Bryce Young last year?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where would the Texans be if they drafted Bryce Young? They would not have.
I think Bryce would have done better in this system.
For sure.
I think that we'd be. I think that. I mean, he's still got some. He has some flaws in his game that you could see coming and that you knew he had to clean up. For a guy who's as small as he is, he's not athletic enough to be Kyler Murray.
No.
But he's not as... He's just not technically sound enough to be Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy that's had all the best tutelage and everything through the years, I always wonder, like, how are you this sloppy mechanically? I'm sure you've received instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I don't know if he would have accepted the coaching or if this is just who he is.
Yeah, yeah. He for sure would have been better because you can't be worse than he was Carolina, if nothing else. We talked to Nick Caserio on the show yesterday, and he gave us updates on a couple of the injured techs. And Seth, you asked him about Christian Harris, which to me is the biggest mystery on this team so far. Is like, mm-hmm. man, how bad is it, whatever Christian Harris is dealing with? Because we've seen him for a total of half a practice in training camp. And other than that, he's been invisible. Here's Nick Caserio on Christian Harris's situation.
This has kind of been a little bit of a tricky one, Seth, if I'm being honest with you. So, I think there's been some stops and starts. I mean, he was available, then he wasn't, and then he was back. And then I think that kind of second go around, we kind of figured he was going to probably be out there for a period of time, but it's hard to put a timetable on anything. So, I mean, we'll kind of take it one day at a time, one week at a time. And, you know, when a player's available, then he'll be available and he'll be on the field. So, I mean, I think we understood that there was going to be a period of time that we were going to have Christian, I mean, which is one of the reasons that we put him on DFR to start the season. So, kind of take it one week at a time. And when he's available, you know, hopefully he can help us. And, you know, but like I said, I'm not going to put any particular timetable on that one because it's really not fair to anybody involved.
DFR, for those who don't know, designated for return.
Yeah.
So that's.
So it's some kind of calf injury that he's had, which the fact that they tried to get him back out there at practice during training camp and he lasted like a third of a practice.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a calf injury, I'm just guessing that it's some kind of compartment syndrome type thing where there's a lot of swelling and it just keeps getting aggravated somehow. I have zero clue other than it's a soft tissue injury,
mm-hmm.
and that they've tried to have him come back. So I don't think they're trying. I don't think the Texans are trying to be overly kind of opaque about it, I guess, or just evasive about it. Because they did try to bring him back. Because my first thought was like, all right, is this something that they should have just told us right from the get-go? But no, I don't think they knew. They really genuinely didn't know. They tried to bring him back during camp, and it's not coming along the way they would have hoped.
Yeah, it sounds like they've been kind of swerved on this thing a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, they've been surprised by some of the fits and starts with it with Christian Harris. I hope he comes back. Boy, they sure could use him this weekend. You know, if Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa-Toa are out. I mean, that's where we are with the linebacking core right now. Henry Toa-Toa possibly being out is a major, major deal, you know?
The biggest thing in the press conference the other day, when asked if D'Amico Autry would be out at practice, D'Amico basically said, I want to say he said, of course, or yeah, like almost like, of course he'll be out there. Then when asked about whether Christian Harris was going to be out there, he said, he'll be out. I'll let you know when he's out there. I'll let you know when he's out there.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's not. I don't think this week is going to be the miraculous Christian Harris.
No, sure. D'Amico's demeanor when he answered that question about Christian Harris was, I'm done answering the question. I'll let you know when he's ready. Okay. Stop asking me about there with a smile on his face. But the nature of the answer was, I'll tell you guys when Christian Harris is ready. You know, it's almost like he's fending off the question at this point. Nico Collins is the other big injury. Here was Nick Caserio yesterday on Nico Collins.
Nico's working hard, certainly making progress. You know, hopefully once we get through the Jets game or whatever it is, I think it's after the Jets game, mm-hmm. then we'll see what his availability is. And no different than kind of what we did with Kurt there as well. Kind of Kurt had to start the season on DFR, so knew he was going to be out there for a period of time. Started practicing here over the last few weeks. And, you know, we activated Kurt here yesterday. So what that means relative to Sunday, you know, I'm not really sure. But every situation is different. Every athlete is different. Every person's body responds differently. So all we can do is take the information, assess the information, try to make a good decision, and then just keep pressing forward. So that's what we're doing in the case of Nico.
So with Nico, when he said he's making progress and he's working hard, if I'm going to read hardcore into that, then I'm going to take it at face value and say, all right, whatever, if they just want him, he's showing progress, so maybe he's pain-free, but they want to be careful about when they bring him back or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not overly concerned that this is going to turn into a season-long thing.
No.
It feels like a hamstring at this point, and hopefully just a hamstring that cools down.
Yeah, I mean, that D'Amico is normal, to use your word. Oh, he is typically very opaque on injuries. Like, he doesn't
opaque.
Tell a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the word I used?
You did 2 minutes ago.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was good. It was used correctly and everything. It was great. He definitively said Nico is going to be back. D'Amico did at one point. Like, he, you know, so that's where I feel like this was a put him on the IR, get him well, get him back for Detroit, that kind of thing.
I was watching the, I'm watching this Aaron Hernandez docudrama mostly through clips on social media
right.
of people making fun of how bad the documentary is
yeah.
or the drop.
Like a biopic, drama series, whatever it is.
Yeah, docuseries. There's a scene where Aaron Hernandez is apparently injured, and Bill Belichick says that your job from now until next week is to go from injured to being just hurt. And I feel like they're not giving that speech to Nico.
No.
I think it's your job is to go from injured to hurt to your hamstring feels awesome.
Yes.
And we don't want to mess with this anymore.
Yeah.
So it's not a get out on the field no matter what, somehow, some way. This isn't the AFC championship game where you got to drag yourself out on the field. They're going to try to be as careful as possible with
it. Yep. I think so too. People saying the Texans would have drafted Bijan Robinson and then gotten Caleb Williams in this past draft. That would have been interesting. Oh, Bijan.
Yeah, you can't plan on getting Caleb Williams though. That's the problem.
No,
you can't plan on being the worst. It's the hardest thing. It's so much easier to predict the Super Bowl winner than it is to predict who's going to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
So no, I don't buy that. You're definitely going to get somehow Caleb Williams.
It's the hardest thing to tell the internet also. Listen, you can't plan for getting the first overall pick. Not even the internet. I mean, talking heads on TV, like, oh, I know you go all in on a quarterback this year, and you got Caleb Williams isn't going to barnstorm and play for every team in the league. He can only play for one team. That is a serious dot to land on right there, you know?
But you might have ended up with Jaden Daniels, though, too.
You could have.
So I think there would have been – listen, remember last year going into the season, people were gung-ho for D'Amico, but they were still very skeptical of Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
And I think without a quarterback last year, that heightened scrutiny of Nick Caserio would have continued all through the season unless whatever they did at quarterback ended up working out. But I think everything would have been put on hold for at least one more year.
Yep.
In terms of fervor and enthusiasm.
We're getting a lot of interesting texts about that hypothetical you threw out there about this with the draft and everything else. We'll save some of them for the next segment here. But up next, you know who is our quarterback? CJ Stroud. And I'm perfectly happy with all that. However, there is something about the Packers that makes this a possible big-time trap for the 2024 version of CJ Stroud, and we will tell you what that is coming up next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.